Peter King of Sports Illustrated joins me here today. And Peter, what about this team interests you so far?
Well, I think the most interesting thing is that I think they've done a pretty good job from what I can see and what I can tell this offseason about kind of compartmentalizing the worst loss of any of their lives. But I think the way they've handled it basically is addressed it over and over again in the spring, and now they're basically saying, okay, we got to play football. It's time. I think two people who would be very good at basically turning the page would be Dan Quinn and Matt Ryan, just because I think Dan Quinn is, you know, like Norman Vincent Peale. He's Mr. Power of Positive Thinking, and I think he's just not going to let it be a lead weight on the shoulders of his team. And Matt Ryan, he just knows what to do. Now, you know, the big question is, I think, about this team right now is, do they have enough pass rush? Is McKinley going to be able to be the guy early on that they drafted to be a pretty good secondary rusher, you know, to Vic Beasley? And so that's what I would be watching most of all. And with the suspension of Jalen Collins, how they're going to stack up in the secondary, especially when teams like the Saints and the Bucs are going to their three receiver sets, which is the predominant set right now in football. So I'm not very worried about their offense, even though they've changed coordinators. I'm a little more worried about, are they going to get the pass rush and are they going to hold up in the back end?
You wrote after the Super Bowl that, especially with the young defense that this team has, that they could be primed for another Super Bowl run. What made you just say that?
A play I saw during Super Bowl week when Matt Ryan sort of tore into Taylor Gabriel on the practice field. And I said, wow, I've never seen Mr. Corporate America tear into a teammate before. I mean, Matt Ryan is Mr. Nice Guy. But that told me something that this team inside the team sees, but a lot of people outside the team don't see, that if he needs to be a tough person, a tough teammate, he can be. And I just think he's one of those guys who, you know, right now he's reached this point in his career where he can outduel anybody he plays, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, whoever. And so I think having him as your leader is good. And, you know, the one other thing about this team, you know, Julio Jones sort of reminds me of Larry Fitzgerald in this way. No matter what sort of defense you put up against him, there is no defense for his size and his athleticism and his ridiculous hands. When I was talking to Tom Brady after the Super Bowl, he said one of the only times he's ever done this, that he had to stop and watch that play three or four times on replay in the Super Bowl because he just simply couldn't believe that Julio Jones caught it. And so to me, when those two guys, and both of those guys, I mean, Julio Jones is, you know, is a guy who you want to be one of your leaders because he wants to be great every day. And so with those two guys as the guys who everybody in the locker room sort of looks toward, I think you've got the right guys as sort of your beacons for the next few years.
You've been to Green Bay. You've been to Seattle. You've been to Dallas. I know you've only been here for a short period of time, but how of what you've seen today, how would it rank against what you've seen from those other teams?
Well, look, every team in the NFC has an issue. Every team in the NFC South has at least one issue. But I think Atlanta has done a good job of masking its major deficiencies. And I think overall, top to bottom as a roster, they have a lot of answers. They need to make sure they rush the passer well and are good enough in the secondary. And they'll be playing deep into January if they can answer both those questions properly.
Well, we appreciate your time. Thanks, Peter.
My pleasure.